Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Through Pentecost, we're preaching from the Gospel of Matthew, focusing on the kingdom of heaven and the reign and rule of God through Christ in our lives and in the lives of the disciples, as we'll see. Matthew 10 continues the instructions that Jesus gives to the 12 disciples as they're prepared to go out to all of the surrounding villages to proclaim the kingdom of heaven. Remember, that was the main instructions that he gave to the disciples in verse 7, is to proclaim as you go, saying, "The kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse lepers, cast out demons." And now he continues that proclamation with some words of warning or some things to expect. It's not going to be easy, in other words. Proclaiming the kingdom of heaven is not easy. In fact, when the kingdom of heaven is mentioned, when Jesus is mentioned, it causes controversy. It causes strife. It stirs things up. I don't know if you've noticed that in our world today. It was no different in the disciples' time when they would mention Jesus, when they would speak of him as the kingdom of heaven, as the reign and rule of God in Christ. Things got heated. They caused problems for a lot of different people when Jesus was mentioned. Even when Jesus was mentioned in the process of doing miracles, it still was a problem. The kingdom of heaven causes all kinds of strife, stirring things up, makes people angry. In fact, it says here Jesus tells the disciples that they will be called masters of the house of Beelzebul, or Beelzebub, depending on how you want to translate that. It means the Lord of the flies. Beelzebub means Lord of the flies. So, you know, that book and how that goes. It's going to be tough, right? It's going to be hard. The kingdom of heaven causes all kinds of problems. Everywhere the disciples would go, everywhere that Jesus would go, when the kingdom of heaven was proclaimed, there were problems. People were angry. People were upset. The Pharisees, most of all, were upset and stirred up and angry with Jesus. But not only them, but if we continue through the Gospels, we see all sorts of times when Jesus goes into a town and gets run out on a rail or tried to get thrown off a cliff, or people pick up stones to stone him. When Jesus shows up, it causes problems. The kingdom of heaven causes strife and scandal and anger. And today, again, it's no different when the kingdom of heaven is mentioned. And I guess some of it is, how is it mentioned? You know, sometimes those who are proclaiming, and I hate to say this, but bring it upon themselves when they're doing it in a way that is inviting strife. See, the thing is that when you mention the kingdom of heaven, you don't have to invite the anger. You don't have to go looking for it. And I think sometimes people do. I think sometimes people go to look for the strife or look to cause problems in the name of Jesus. And that's not what the disciples were sent to do. They weren't sent to cause problems. They knew it would happen because of who they were and who they were proclaiming, but they weren't looking to go to cause. Jesus didn't send them to say, go stir up controversy. Go call out people so they get angry with you. Go do this so that people start throwing things. Don't. That's not what Jesus says. In those earlier verses, he says, go and proclaim the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse lepers, cast out demons. That's what he tells them to do. Nowhere in there is it saying that he's calling them to go and cause problems. But that's the nature of the kingdom of heaven, is it causes problems without even trying to. When you mention Jesus, people get upset. People get angry. People would rather you didn't say that name. And they're not the first to do it in this day and age. It's been happening ever since Jesus was around. And it'll continue to happen until he comes again. That's the nature of the kingdom of heaven. The reign and rule of God through Christ in us, around us, in the world around us, causes problems. It also, The kingdom of heaven also reveals things, which is part of the problem that it causes. Jesus says there's nothing that's hidden that's not going to be shown. There's nothing that's going to be in the dark that's not going to be in the light. It's all going to be revealed. There's going to be no secrets anymore, and that's a problem for people. See, proclaiming the kingdom of heaven means that you can't hide anything. You can't cover anything up. Because if you do, it's going to come out. Again, we know this. Some of the problems that we've experienced in this day and age, when people proclaim the kingdom of heaven and they're trying to hide something underneath it, you know that's going to come out, right? You get this world-class preacher up there, you know, telling thousands and thousands of people not to commit adultery while over here, that's just what he's doing. You know that's going to come out, right? You can't hide that. Can't hide it forever, because when you proclaim the kingdom of heaven, when you're that spokesperson, those secrets come out. You can't hide those things. That goes for the mountaintop guys and the in the trenches guys. There's nothing you can hide. But it also means that the world can't hide their stuff either. See, when Jesus goes out and starts preaching and starts proclaiming and starts healing and he sends the disciples to do the same and the kingdom of heaven is advancing into the world says, well, wait, we've got stuff. We don't want you to get to this. And simply by being the kingdom of heaven as Jesus is, the Pharisees' hidden stuff of power and control and misreading the word of God and misusing the word of God all comes out. It shows them to be who they are. The kingdom of heaven uncovers everything. In biblical terms, it leaves us all naked. We can't hide anything. So the kingdom of heaven causes problems because of that. We all like to hide stuff. We all like to cover up. We all think that we've got stuff that nobody knows about, but the kingdom of heaven, it shows it all. You can't hide from it. You can't cover it up. No matter who you are, whether you're in power or not, it all is revealed. Jesus says that what is covered will be revealed, that there are no secrets that are going to be hidden anymore. In our confession, we have one of our confessions that says that we confess that we cannot hide secrets from God. From whom no secrets are hid. We say that, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit. And so we know. We may be able to keep secrets from one another. You know, we're all human beings and pretty short-sighted most of the time. So sometimes it's easy to keep secrets from one another, but you can't with the kingdom of heaven. It all comes out. God knows all things. Jesus sends them out to proclaim the kingdom of heaven is at hand. It's with them. And as he's saying this, and as he's telling them that there's going to be controversy, there's going to be strife, there's going to be secrets revealed, there's going to be problems, you're going to face persecution, and not only that, but families are going to go at one another over the kingdom of heaven. The name of Jesus is going to cause all of these problems. And then Jesus says, well, wait, don't be afraid. How could you not? How could they not have some trepidation as they're getting ready to go out into these villages, knowing that they may meet their end that day as they proclaim the kingdom of heaven? They don't know. They don't know that they may meet their end as they go into a village that doesn't want the kingdom of heaven there. How could they not be afraid? But see, that's the beauty of the kingdom of heaven, that even in our fear and our anxiety and our worry, the kingdom of heaven is a refuge for us. The reign and rule of God in Christ in our lives and in the world is a refuge. It's a place for us to run to hide from the attacks of the world. Now, that doesn't mean we're not going to experience them, and that doesn't mean it's not going to hurt, but here in Christ is a refuge. It's a place of safety. The kingdom of heaven is there to watch over and protect those who are in the kingdom. Again, it doesn't mean that we're not going to experience the trouble, the suffering, or the pain that goes with living the kingdom life in this world. We're going to have that. It's going to happen. Jesus said so. And yet at the same time, he says the kingdom of heaven is that place of safety. It's a place of guarding and protecting. He tells the disciples that we should not fear those who kill the body but cannot kill the soul. In other words, in the kingdom of heaven, even death doesn't matter. Because they may take away our life, but they can't take away our eternal life in Christ. Luther is quoted one time as saying, "I'm not afraid of the one who can remove my head because I know the one who can put it back on." I don't know exactly where he said that and if that was around one of his table talks at some point, because it sounds like something he would say in that state, but there it is. The kingdom of heaven gives you that confidence to proclaim without worrying about what's going to happen. Again, that doesn't give you license to go out and stir stuff up intentionally to cause problems, because then you're just inviting what's going to happen. But being in the kingdom, proclaiming the kingdom of God, proclaiming the reign and rule of Jesus, the primacy of Jesus, could cost you your head. And I know I'll say this kind of flippantly, but if that's all, meh. I know the one who can put it back on. I know the one who can put it back on forever. Not just so they can take it off again, but to put it back on forever. The kingdom of heaven is a place of refuge and safety. It's also a place, it's a place of value. It's a place where you, as those in the kingdom, me, as those in the kingdom, are valued. Now, out there in the world, the kingdom of heaven, or the kingdom of the world, Jesus is not valued, and those who proclaim him, those who confess him, are not valued. They are cast aside, they are ridiculed, they are mocked. We heard about that in Jeremiah, that no matter when you speak that word of God, it's gonna invite mocking. That your thoughts, your opinions, your ideas have no worth to those outside the kingdom of heaven. You're not important. You're an annoyance. You're in the way. But in the kingdom of heaven, you have value. You are treasured possessions in the kingdom of heaven. The reign and rule of God in Christ in our lives and in the world, you are valued. Jesus says that God knows every sparrow that falls, and you know sparrows, they're not very big. He says they fall all the time. They're important to God, but you are so much more valuable to God than the sparrows. You are his treasured possession. You're the one for whom Jesus came to die. Did he come to die for the sparrows? Well, as much as they are part of the cosmos and creation, sure, but he came to give his life for you. He came to allow them to take his blood and his flesh for you. The world will never do that. In fact, the world will expect that of you for it. Right, the world and the kingdom of the world will expect you to give everything for it. And Jesus says, no, I gave everything for you. The kingdom of heaven values you above all things. So much so that the blood of Christ was shed for you. As Jesus continues to proclaim the kingdom of heaven through his disciples in our gospel readings throughout Pentecost, we'll hear more about how the kingdom of heaven values you, values the life that you have. You are of great, great value in the kingdom of heaven. Amen. Now may the peace that is ours in Christ guard our hearts and minds always in the one true faith to life everlasting. Amen.